the Constitution, freedom of the press, and maybe the future of the country. Not that any of that matters.
And now, the news.
Well, last night, Golden State defeats the Portland Trailblazers 114-111. Warriors now lead the series 2-0. Warriors overcome a 15-point halftime deficit. At one point, it was 17. But my God, the defense at the end for the Portland Trailblazers, that was the worst defense I've ever seen in the post. They were just allowing... Oh, my God. The Warriors could do pretty much whatever they wanted to, as they were just getting huge dunks down low. Nobody was taking any hard fouls. And once again, the lack of urgency from Portland did them in at the end of the game, where not only did they couldn't, I mean, they had awful possessions where they were just chucking up 17, 18 footers.
Horrible.
It was just terrible, and letting Golden State just go on like a 10-0 run, 13-2 run. They deserved to lose that game. It's sad to see, but that's pretty much it for Portland.
This thing, I'm going to be shocked if it's not in five. I think the only game they can win is going back, and because the crowd will be crazy, even though you know, they're disappointed being down 2-0, it will be the first home game in the Western Conference Finals. They might get game three. I think it ends in five. C.J. McCollum last night, I'm sorry, he missed four straight shots down the stretch. You have to make those shots. They... Over the course of the game, the second chance points, the offensive rebounds they gave up, you cannot play that way and beat that team. You can't do it. You have to play near perfect. They played a very good... Here's Adam Hill had a good tweet on this, and I was watching... I told you, I was watching a game with Tristan. We thought the exact same thing. I retweeted Adam. End of the first... I think it was the end of the... Yeah, it was the end of the first quarter. I'm like, man, they played really, really well in that quarter. Portland did. They played terrific. They were up two. At that point, you're like, whoa. I mean, they can't play a better quarter. Now, you knew even being up 15 in the second, Golden State's making its run. You don't want them to make a good enough run to where you're tied going into the fourth.
No.
You've got to have like a six-point lead, right?
Yes.
You let them make their run, but you still better be up 6-8 or 6-7 to give you, because you get another fourth quarter run. But then you can start trading baskets and kind of maybe hold them off by two or three in the end. Didn't happen. They get outscored 39-24 in the third. It's tied. It's over. They're not winning that game in the fourth quarter the way they played. McCollum was, again, in three straight great looks. He misses all of them. You can't do that and beat that team. I loved the Seth against Steph. I thought the Currys, that was a kind of a good sidebar there. Seth Curry tried to keep his team in it.
That was awesome. Really well. And you know what? A storyline to watch for next game, because I would love to see if that goes down
again.
I
hope it keeps happening. The Warriors are going to win the series, so you might as well have some sidebars to it. Kevin Durant is, according to the Warriors, more serious than they thought. Look, I don't know if it's more serious than they thought. I just know up 2-0, I would not play the guy till the finals.
Nope, you wouldn't even
Why
see
would
it.
You put that guy on the floor in this series? Well, the series is over.
They said he's not even wearing, like, basketball shoes.
No,
like, they're just taking it real easy.
Yeah, you go to the NBA Finals. And on the other side, I would think we'll see tonight in Game 2, Toronto has a better chance of pushing that thing to at least 6. So you're talking Durant gets, what, at least another week and a half off, and then you bring him back for the finals.
May 30th is when the title begins, so
okay,
that's
so
game one. So
he's got a lot of time to rest.
That May 8th was the injury, so he's got plenty of time. 24 days could do it. Draymond Green last night, 16 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, and 5 blocks. Man, the dude was a total playmaker in the win.
One thing Coach told me during the game, he said, Draymond, they're taking the lob away. You may just be able to get all the way to the basket. And so I think once I started coming out with the mindset of attacking and looking like I was going to attack, then at that point you really forced the defender to make a decision. Early on in the game, I was kind of coming out of the pick and roll and looking for the lob the entire time, telegraphing it. And so, you know, being a playmaker is something I take pride in, something I love to do. You know, I love to make a play for someone else more than I even like shooting the ball. And I've been that way my whole life.
Okay, he's a terrific player. And I take nothing against that. That guy makes plays at both ends. He is. If he doesn't make all defensive team every year, I mean, something's completely... they should start the all defensive team every year with Kawhi Leonard and Draymond Green and then fill in the other dudes. Seriously, I mean, just put those guys in the all defensive team and then fill out your team. I'll say this, though. If you want a clinic in how poorly to defend pick and roll, watch Portland, like Clay said, in the fourth quarter last night. They were so concerned with hedging and getting to Curry.
Yeah.
The slips and the rolls, it's like, is anyone going to guard pick and roll tonight? Are you so desperate? And my son's like, yeah, he's disagreeing with me. He's like, but you got to guard Steph. You can't. No. I understand Steph Curry's incredible, but I'm sorry. As great as he is, I'm going to take Steph 3 feet beyond the three-point line on a contested shot over an open roll to where then help side comes and the guy's dunking or getting a layup. I don't care. I mean, I'll take Steph shooting a three every time.
But they never made the adjustment.
Adjusted on the pick and roll
after
or on the
two,
slips.
You
ever.
Have to start making an adjustment.
Yes. Ever. The slips and the pick and rolls just destroyed them in the fourth quarter. And it happened every time down. And credit to Draymond's incredible. He's a great player. But again, I know Steph is incredible. But they got so caught up in trying to make sure they were on him to contest and not to go with the player who rolled and to stay out. And then what happens? So then the big guarding the wing has to come help. The wing is open for lob. It was just a clinic. And then on the other end, you're missing open jumpers. It's a recipe for a disaster. You have no chance to beat that team playing the way they did in the fourth quarter. Like you said, none. The way they defended, which they did, I can't even call it defending. And then again, CJ McCollum's going down and he's missing every shot he takes. You're done.
You're done. Scottish, it's the Press Box Morning Show, Friday, 8:13. We got to take
Stump
a break.
Stump the wizard! The wizard from Boston!
Nothing good can come from
Boston
this.
Boston, or do I just like saying that? You have nothing to do with Boston.
Nothing to do with Boston. Stop with that. We are not Winnipeg. We're back after this. Doug Kazarian at 8:30.
Start your engines!
Got Jeopardy music for you right here. Flamingo west of Jimmy Durant. You have injury crash there as well as Charleston at Nellis. And we have a crash of 15 southbound at Washington, which has the right shoulder blocked. And now we have an update. There's a crash on 95 southbound after Valley View. Right shoulder blocked there. And as well in the clearing stages over the past hour, an injury crash on 95 southbound at I-15. That southbound on-ramp, the right shoulder's blocked. And, of course, there are delays there, as well as Fort Apache at Alexander. Charleston at Betty and Flamingo at Cabana Lane and on Rainbow at Desert Inn. Traffic brought to you by Live Nation, presenting Greta Van Fleet at the Joint at the Hard Rock Casino and Hotel on Friday, September 27th. Tickets are on sale today at 10 a.m.
Greta Van Fleet, live.
What is Ohio State?
No, what is Auburn? You're obviously not a big football fan.
Ooh. Okay, Alex.
All right,
a little snippy.
Here we go. It's that time. I've wanted to do this for many years after I first met this man, and he told me all kinds of odd and weird facts in our first conversation. I said, this guy is either really smart or a bit bizarre. I think it's both. We are bringing to you for the first time ever, Stump the Wizard, Stump Clay Baker. It is now a normal Friday special segment. And
is,
I'm going to keep
it. Not authorized.
It
There's
is,
nothing
it's been authorized by all kinds of officials around here. Not that I know there are officials around this place. I could name you an official. But this is Stump Clay. We will do 5 questions a week, and we will keep track here. And this could be anything. And if you want to, you can't text them in because Clay does the text line.
Yeah, that's not going
to
help.
Yeah, that's not going to help.
Tweet
Rob,
him to Ed.
Rob Mish and I are going to come up with a lot of these questions. Mish is also kind of a wizard and a very smart person, and he comes up with some great Stump the Clays. So here we go. Are you ready for this?
He's also a
wizard.
And
this could be sports. It could be, you know, pop culture. It could be something from very long ago. I first got this idea when I mentioned my great aunt was Patsy Kelly, the stage actress.
Yeah.
And movies, silent movies, other movies. Actually, almost Alice in the Brady Bunch. She came.
Maybe 100 movies, 100 TV shows. Yes. Patsy Kelly, and she always had the best line. She always came away with like the funniest laughs. She was a wisecracker. She was great.
Yes. And she's the great aunt, and I went to I saw her on Broadway twice. I was very, very little. I remember her. But I thought it was always cool where she came down to the final two with Ann B. Davis to be Alice on the Brady Bunch, which would have been my sisters and I would have been on that set every day if she got that
Yeah,
part,
but she would have been a little too old to have an affair with Mel the Butcher.
Yes, yes. I think it came down to she was too old to be, tickle, tickle, and tug, tug with the Butcher.
Right, with all the sexual innuendos of,
what was
hey,
that kid's name?
Put your beef in my refrigerator.
Name?
Mel. Oh, no, wait, Mel was the cook on Alice. Wait
Mel.
A minute, Mel.
Sam!
Sam.
It was Sam the Butcher.
Is this one of the questions?
No, you've already failed. No. All right, here we go with Stump Clay, the producer, Stump the Wizard. You ready?
Yes.
Okay.
We have Doug Kazarian at 8:30. Okay. We move along.
You want to move along. We've got plenty of time here, buddy. I'm watching the clock. Question one for the Wizard. The most famous survivor of the Great Hartford Circus Fire of 1994, a person who would never again sit among the audience anywhere under any circumstance.
Of 1994?
No, 1944.
1944.
It's the Great Hartford Circus Fire. And he then said, I'm never sitting among another audience anywhere under any circumstance. He was the most famous survivor of that fire.
Oh, man. Famous.
You can also say I got stumped, and I can get the answer. That's how we're gonna play. You're either gonna answer, and you're gonna be the wizard. We gotta get some Harry Potter to this.
Wait a minute.
Or you can say I've been stumped.
1944.
1944. A young,
dude,
young.
There was somebody that was in a stupid.
He was young.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem like 1944. I'll give you the name, but I don't think it's right. Okay. It's Rosie O'Donnell. She was in some sort of stupid fire or something like that, right?
No. So. The answer to the first question today is Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh, no! Yeah. Really? There's a fire!
All right.
I guess I'm just different.
I might give you half a point just for the impersonation.
Oh, if I could do Charles Nelson Reilly impersonations, that'd be great. Thanks, Rob.
Here we go. Jesus. Another Rob Mish question. When Bobby Thompson smacked the shot heard round the world in the 51 at the Polo Grounds, mm-hmm. who was on deck?
Willie Mays?
One for two! The wizard! Willie Mays was on deck!
Yeah!
What is the world's longest river?
The Amazon.
2 for 3!
Hooray!
And the thing that helped you on that is I click on Amazon Prime 10 times a day.
Yeah!
2 for 3! We've got 2 left!
All right, let's go.
Name the 7th planet from the sun.
Neptune.
Oh, take your time.
I didn't think that.
Uranus. That was a layup for you. You're a sick bastard.
Now this is where this is going. We want to. Ed's going to choose questions where he can say words that he's not allowed to normally say.
Absolutely. Every day. All right, so you're 2-4, which is pretty good.
It's pronounced Uranus.
Let's get a 3-for-5. Let's have a nice Bellinger 3-for-5 day here on the first edition of Stump the Wizard. Who invented the rabies vaccination?
Oh, wow. The rabies vaccination.
You're gonna know this if you think about it. I think you'll
like
get
it's John Rabies.
Huh? I think you'll get it if you just take 1 second for yourself.
Okay, well I'll just say Jonas Salk. I don't know. I mean, like.
Well, you're close.
Ah, man, the rabies vaccination.
The rabies vaccination.
Did you find questions that are like relevant?
Louis Pasteur. It's not a bad start. 2-for-5 is not a bad start on Stump Clay.
This is nothing good can come
this
from this, man.
This is
going to
be great.
Because it's not good, man.
Oh, a lot of good is coming for this from my side of things.
All right, this is absolute baloney.
No, it's
last
awesome.
Week when we did run, print, or hit, or whatever, that thing that just landed like a huge egg.
That died in the that was dead on arrival. This is going to go, man. Every Friday at 8:18, I've made the decision with absolutely no approval from anybody. That at 8:18 on Friday, we will stump the wizard. 5 questions, 2-for-5 from Boston.
Yep.
And that was a good start. That's a good start. These are hard. The Mish kid loves doing this to you, by the way. There's a few that the Mish kid has sent along that I'm just saying, he's at home saying, how can I get Clay Baker?
So, like, any question is up for grabs.
No, anything's up for grabs.
There's no set subjects
if
or anything like that?
If you have stumped the... we got to do it this way because obviously he'll see on Twitter. egrannyreviewjournal.com. egrannyreviewjournal.com. It's in my it's in the paper every day for the email. If you have stumped the Clay questions, give me questions, and we're gonna do this every Friday at 8:18. Smartest man I know, Clay Baker, Clay the producer. This will be fun. It was a good start. Louis Pasteur, the Charles Nelson Reilly was a good one. I would have never gotten. I mean, Mish gave me that one. I'm like, he might get that because you are very up. That's why I brought up Patsy Kelly. You're really up on old time actors, and you love that kind of era. Of like great actors and actresses and
Charles Nelson Reilly covers that.
Well, no, but
actors.
I mean, you know what I mean. I mean, like people of that
course,
era.
Of course, I was great.
He was a young Charles Nelson Reilly, but you love those eras of the 40s and the 50s, and that's what you know. Patsy Kelly was famous, man. She was hundreds and hundreds of things. The great aunt of of myself. It's the only thing I can hang my head on in my life.
Generations ahead of you will be like looking at their famous, forefathers, and they'll be Patsy Kelly, and it'll just stop there because they'll go by Ed's name, and they're like, veer left. All right, it's a Press Box Morning Show. We got to take a commercial break. Thanks again for playing along.
Yeah, awesome
job. Why don't you go email Ed? Put up some good questions, for God's sakes. We're just taking questions out of, like, the Farmer's Almanac. Doug Kazarian is the host of The Daily Wager on ESPN. And earlier this week, it was announced that ESPN's now going to build a studio at The Link with help from Caesars Entertainment. They're getting support of. And next thing you know, there's going to be a lot of video and gaming content on the Strip day and night on ESPN. We're going to talk to Doug Kazarian about that next here on The Morning Show.
You're back in the Press Box with Clay Baker and Ed Graney. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas and call the show 702-364-1100.
Steph McKenzie at 9, we don't know why, and at 9:30, nope. DJ Allen, Coaches vs. Cancer, DJ, Coach Kruger, all the coaches are back in town. Great, great fundraiser each year. 12 years now, $5 million and counting towards cancer research. Lon Kruger has kept it in Vegas, and Vegas is happy for that. Please be joined now, though. Here he is. Follow him on Twitter at DougESPN, our good friend Doug Kazarian, Daily Wager host, ESPN Sports Betting Analyst, behind the Bets podcast, and the man who laughed at Clay Baker and I when we were completely wrong and said Herm Edwards might end up being the worst coach that ever coached college football. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I love it. Ethan Crow, my friend. You can never doubt Herm Edwards.
No, you told us. Mm. You guys, you're wrong. You're wrong. He's going to be good. I said, no, it's a disaster. And then the guy ended up being good.
Everything you said came true on that. You worked next to Herm. You said this guy is more prepared than anyone you've ever met, and he can instill and inspire anybody at any level. And we were laughing at the time. Well, no one's laughing now.
Well, look, I mean, we all – wins and losses are not the only way to evaluate, right? Like – I mean, frankly, Alabama and Clemson are in a cut above, and, no one's winning a national championship in Tempe. But it's college, we've become so extreme, right? It's all about pointing out the negatives, pointing out who, it's just like, I'm sure, like, Utah Jazz fans are really excited about their future, right? Yes, they've been eliminated in the first round. No, I'm serious. Yes. Like, last year when they got to the second round, like, it's not the end of the world if you, like, lose to the Rockets or Warriors. And I mean, there's excitement in sports beyond just cutting down the nets and hoisting trophies. I really think that. Like, I think it's about the long haul, and Herm's going to be doing a lot of great things out for Arizona State. He's made them relevant. He's, especially for the college level, like, a lot of those guys are never going to sniff the NFL, but they're always going to have fond memories of college football because they played big time in the Pac-12, and they had an awesome coach who's going to help them become, men.
Boy, you just gave a great speech for Vegas Golden Knights fans who've lost their minds around this place. Good for you.
They got hosed.
Now, four power play goals and 4-0-1. Step up and respond. Now, we wanted to, the thing we really want to talk to you about, huge news here, as you know, Caesars Entertainment struck a deal with ESPN to open the odds-making studio on the Strip near the Link Hotel. You host Daily Wager. It is the main story that was written about, or the main show that was written about in this story. Let's get to the bottom and the real important stuff. Are you moving back?
No. We're not moving the show. I mean, I guess I should say never. You can never say never. But
right. As
of now, basically, it's like we have studio space. And
okay. Will
we do some remote shows? I imagine we'll hit the road and do a show out there. But
okay. The
Daily Wager is not moving, relocating to Vegas. I think what it is, it's having a presence out there. We're going to have a lot of guests on the studio doing talkbacks
with
ESPN and especially their odds makers. I'm sure we're going to be interviewing them, and so we're not moving. We're not all relocating, but look, it's exciting times. It's just, this is what I said when we launched the show. It wasn't the first thing ESPN's done in the betting space, right? We've just kind of continue to crank the knob. So we've been doing podcasting columns. We have an ESPN.com chalk section. We just now added Daily Wager, and now we're expanding with a studio space in Caesars, and they're going to be our official odds provider too.
Doug Kazarian is here with us. Follow him on Twitter at DougESPN, and of course the host of Daily Wager. And I think for me, doing remotes and listening to a lot of people, that this show is very popular here in Las Vegas. And like you said, ESPN has done other betting shows and other gaming shows, but they've never done it on the main channel at 3 o'clock. And from 3 to 4, that is the hot hour for information. And what you guys have done is that you have sparked an interest in people that they just want straight ahead analysis. They don't want opinions. They don't want negative storylines. They just want you to talk objectively about the games. And I think that is just a very simple format that I think is probably awakening a lot of people in programming, saying, you know what, maybe if we get this the studio at the Link on the Strip, what we could be doing on the weekend as far as new gaming content could be tenfold.
Right. When we even launched the show, Clay, and it's not about like, okay, we've checked that box, we're done with our gambling coverage. No. Everything is organic at ESPN. It's not like someone in 2000 said, all right, we're going to launch ESPN2, then in X amount of years we're going to do ESPN News, we're going to have these debate shows. It just kind of happens, and we kind of figure it out. We listen to our feedback in terms of our focus groups, and they just kind of like, it's fluid, and everything at ESPN is fluid, and we, you know, on the side of a building, a big building, it says to serve sports fans everywhere, and this is one of the way. I mean, obviously, as you guys know, and I know from my days in Vegas, there is an appetite for this content, and ESPN's in the market and the business of serving sports fans, and what gambling does, even if you're not a huge bettor, like I was talking to a co-anchor this weekend, she's like, I'm not a big bettor. She's like, frankly, I don't even get math, but I love the show because it just gets me kind of brought up to speed, and it just creates new conversations around sports. Mm-hmm. And I say new, but not for this audience. We've been talking about this angle, the betting angle in sports all the time, but it just gives context to, you know, the biggest upset in whatever playoff history, or biggest, you know, the biggest underdog that they've seen. You know, things like that give context. So it's just another way to create a conversation around sports. Like, even going back to January and February when James Harden was going bonkers with how many straight, you could just bet on over under, if you know, prop bet on James Harden's points. Like, it's just that simple. And as a guy who grew up with four older brothers, you can basically create a prop on anything. When you're outside playing, you know, I bet you can't throw it this far, or you know, like, give me 3-1 odds. I mean, literally, I was doing that at age 7. And we've just been able to, and sportsbooks have been able to do this stuff. And yeah, prop bets get a lot of attention during the Super Bowl, especially cross sport props. But it goes such beyond that, as we all know, but the rest of the country is learning too.
Jesus, there's those Kazarian boys out playing dimes and dice on the street again. Christ, what are we going to do?
Yeah, little
all
Ricky
those boys
lost
out there rolling
money.
Dice, little Kazarian boys. You know, like you said, Vegas very well. Obviously, the ESPN platform. How much of a percentage, if at all, is this about the town is getting the monster that is the NFL?
Well, I think it's all correlated, right? I mean, I think it'd be pretty ignorant to say that ESPN operates in a vacuum. We don't. Obviously, we have huge partnerships with leagues. And the fact that the other leagues have kind of started their embracing of gambling, I think it's connected to us. Now, we don't get permission. Hey, guys, can we do this gambling show? No. But it helps us take a pulse of things. And again, I'm not in a lot of these meetings. I'm just gauging it from my perspective. But I think seeing what the NFL is doing, and obviously they were kind of like the last ones to get involved, seeing how they've embraced it, seeing how they're getting on board, it just shows how times are changing.
Did you ever think you would see this day where gaming content would be on ESPN in the way it is being presented, especially in the primetime fashion? It's one thing to have Scott Van Pelt talk about best bets and biggest losses during SportsCenter, but now it seems like this is a priority of, I think they're taking a look at how popular Daily Wager is, and I think a very possible spinoff of other shows could happen around football.
As you guys know, I'm a gambler.
No.
And I'd love to only be wrong. Yeah, 43% of the time. So, and I tend to be oversimplification of everything. So, no, I did not see this. I was very extreme with my answers when we would talk about this. And humans would bust my chops about a decade ago in terms of, I kept saying there's a stigma around gambling. We live in a bubble in Vegas. The outside world won't allow it on a national landscape. And I never thought the NFL would, you know, I never thought. I would have bet so much money that the NFL in my lifetime would never move to Vegas. And sure enough, it happened like a handful of years after I moved, let alone my lifetime. So I've been dead wrong just because I didn't think, you know, we're softening our front on a lot of things. And I'm very, you know, appreciative of that.
How big can this get? And we're talking to Doug Kazarian at Doug ESPN on Twitter. Caesars has obviously made a foothold here. They've got a sponsorship going with the stadium. Bleacher Report now has its own studio, I believe, in Caesars. ESPN's now coming to the link. How massive do you think this can get as the town adds NFL? Everyone says it's on the shortlist for the NBA. You already know what the Golden Knights have done. Have we just seen ever? Are we just scratching the surface here for these kind of platforms to come into this town and do gambling shows and bring the sports wagering world to everyone else across the country?
I absolutely think we are just scratching the surface. Look, local municipalities need money.
Yeah.
Legalization is coming, right? We're at, I think the last count in terms of introducing bills is at 12.
Mm-hmm.
And leagues need money, and there's money to be spent. So let's take it away from the underground, bring it above board, and let everyone get a slice of the pie, not in the stupid form of integrity fees, but in other forms. And why not? I mean, there's so much money being spent in other forms of entertainment, right? Whether it be alcohol, food, just other experiences. Why is this so different? It's not. And everyone's starting to open their eyes. And frankly, guys, I give people a lot of credit. We've come a long way. Like, all three of us and a lot of people listening were desensitized to it all and very annoyed at the stigma and how taboo it was. But look how far everyone has come. I mean, people who never placed a bet in like league offices are now like partnering with casino companies in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually pleasantly surprised at the timeline and obviously very encouraged moving forward.
And Doug, we looked at like a couple of responses from the text line, 69187. One of them says, should ESPN hire James Holzhauser after the, you know, the Jeopardy guy, who also is like a Vegas sports bettor and somebody who might be, I don't know, like a new personality coming on the scene here for like even the casual sports bettor or casual sports viewer to even be like, you know what, I'll watch this because he's on it. I think I just stumped him.
Sorry, I had my mute button hit. That's a great question. Look, I don't think anything's off the table. We've done some we've done some very unique things over the years. I mean, look, I'm not in the hiring department, but I don't think anything's off the table. I mean, just think about how different this, I mean, I'm trying to think of like the gold rush or, I don't know, the internet boom in 2000. For us to think that everything's going to be so conventional and so mapped out would be very naive. And if there is someone who's famous and is like a big gambler, then why not? I think you kick the tires on everything. I think you kick the tires on the most legendary bookmakers hiring them. You kick the tires on ex-athletes who now want to get into the space. I know guys like Ryan Howard. I think you kick the tires on everything and see what comes out. And you know, sometimes at ESPN, you have the luxury of making breaking a few eggs to make that omelet along the way. So you take chances and see what works. Things that have been really successful, some of our best shows, whether it be SportsCenter, Game Day on the Road, PPI, like those things don't just happen. You take chances, you try things, you tweak lineups. I mean, all of this is fluid. But yeah, that's certainly a good idea. Basically, there's no bad idea.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking just in that way because it seems as though that as more gaming content and more gaming shows come out, the less you see of the PGs, the professional gamblers, professional bettors who've been in Vegas maybe 30, 40 years, you don't really see them being used as analysts on these shows, but you might start seeing like all new different kinds of personalities who are making the adjustment to evolve sports betting content into something that's a little bit more available for the casual fan and not for somebody who's just into Vegas sports and Vegas gambling.
Well, precisely. And I think the coverage is going to change. You've seen it with broadcasters. Guys at the end of games kind of like slip it in. I mean, especially when the games are in Vegas during championship week. Just imagine what's going to happen down the road. I mean, we have a rules analyst come in. Why not have a betting guy during broadcast? Maybe it's Monday Night Football pregame. Whatever it is, it's just a new way of doing sports, and everyone's trying to it's sort of like a level playing field, right? To start, everyone's been like, all right, what's this gambling thing? Let's try it. And frankly, competitors are like, let's now compete with ESPN.
Yep.
So I think everyone's trying to figure it all out. And that's what makes it really fun. And I remember from doing local radio and local TV in Vegas and not having a professional home team in a way, and that betting was the home team, and boxing and UFC were as well.
Yep.
Outside of the event weekends. And you could just be so creative with your content. And the other guys at other networks, the other stations in town, we would all have very different shows and different sportscasts. And I think that's what made it fun. That's what made it challenging. So now betting just kind of adds another layer to things. You know, what's the treatment? What's the presentation of tonight's game two? Like, how are you going to get into it? What kind of betting angle are you going to take? Do you lead with props? And then, you know, like, whatever it is, it's just fun, it's challenging, and, you know, we're all part of this and along for the ride.
Well, final question for me. What, you know, because you knew gambling well when you went there, and as you started Daily Wager and you've seen across the country with the Supreme Court decision followed by all these states now opening their doors to it, what has surprised you most about the industry, and have you learned things that you didn't really know about sports gaming as a whole doing what you do now?
I think the thing I've learned the most on a personal level is just kind of all the math model guys, how they process things, right? I would assume it's kind of like when poker had that big boom of sort of the math guys,
right,
and just how different it is. And look, I was an econ degree, and I had some econometric stuff that I took in statistics, but it's different when they look at it because I'm such a kind of conventional handicapper. So I've definitely been appreciative of that. But the stats that we have at ESPN are very better friendly. So they're sent out by our stats and info group as just regular stats. And that was but I'm looking at them and reading them even before Daily Wager, my first few years here. I'm like, you know, there's some really good betting angles in here. And I would just kind of track stuff and understand it. And then I would be able to use some of that and kind of incorporate it into my generic coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I say generic meaning when I was not doing gambling specific shows like SportsCenter, or even game day radio, when you have 7 hours to fill, talking about some point spreads here and there on a college football Saturday is not the end of the world. So I think just sort of the all-encompassing stats, but as we all evolve, Ed, and we learn, and we kind of get better at our jobs in theory and get better at life, if you will, you kind of apply all that to gambling, right? You understand certain narratives, too, like whether, you know, when I was like, I don't know, 25, and I hear about what's going on with an athlete recovering from injury or personal stuff, I look at things different now that I'm in my 40s. And I think all of that, it's all-encompassing. And having played sports helps too, right? It's not the end-all, be-all, because games aren't played on paper. We know about handicapping spots all the time. But I just think all of it is evolution. And I think the market, I think we can all agree that the market has just gotten tighter. I don't know if the bettors and the public bettors are just better and smarter because there's more information out there, or the guys who just dump money are out of the business because they've gotten broke. But I think the market is much tighter, so then you learn the value of half points and numbers, right? The most common outcome margin of victory in the NBA over the last 5 years in the regular season is 7. So the difference, like last night, between a 7.5 and 7, you're thinking that's a huge, you know, that comes into play. That, you know, just all these little things that you learn along the way. But it's just really interesting to see like how it's evolving in the media with ex-athletes too, that guys are embraced it, or guys who already are decent. But it's just all very interesting, and it's kind of groundbreaking, to be honest.
Yeah, because there would never be a time where an ex-athlete would ever open his mouth or her mouth about sports wagering or betting or lines. In fact, sometimes it would be in complete denial that they know anything about what the line is, if they're favored or not. As now that we're going to actually see that transition now before our eyes, where they're going to have to go in and at least make that adjustment if they want to evolve in the new market.
I completely agree, and I wrote a column about that after Todd Gurley fell down against the Packers, and he had a couple questions in the locker room from our Rams reporter about the point spread, and he just answered it kind of normally. He goes, I don't care about point spreads, I care about winning. And that was my thing. It's like, all right, sports betting has arrived.
Yes, it is.
The fact that he answered in sort of that ambush, that pool mosh in the locker room about a point spread, and the hell, and everyone didn't just like cringe and freak out like Tony Dungy did on set for Sunday Night Football a few years ago was normal. I thought the fact that they did it and took it in stride was a great sign, and the fact that it got attention and it was a storyline, but not the storyline, And aside from a few idiots on Twitter claiming six, it was no big deal.
That will never go away. They'll always be fixed. And, Rig, hey, before we let you go, how would you describe yesterday's defensive collapse between the Blazers and Warriors? I know that's going to be part of the coverage today on the Daily Wager, but even Ed and I were just exasperated a half hour ago. Like, who is making the rules there? How do you not make adjustments in the post?
I don't know. I don't know if there is a right way. I kind of said that on the show. It's like, oh, we're gonna start doing this. We're going to be more aggressive with the Warriors. But if it's so easy to flip the switch and defend them, then everybody would be doing it. It's not.
Yeah.
And it's just not that simple. So, I mean, it could be a defensive collapse or just these guys shooting three-pointers got red hot. And when you have Cantor out there and you have some other not great defenders, you got to take the bad with the good. And it's just what the Warriors do. Now, I think the Blazers are going to get at least one in Portland, and they're already favored in Game 3, but it's just mesmerizing. We see so many teams think they can hang, and then they just lose.
It's always the same way. Doug Kazarian here with us, Daily Wager host, and, of course, Behind the Bets on the podcast page for ESPN. Thanks again, Doug. We appreciate the conversation, and we look forward to more great things. And your show is awesome, dude. We're big fans of it.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it, man.
Means a lot, guys. Thanks. There always good connecting with you and then Las Vegas residents out there.
Awesome job. There he is. Follow him on Twitter, at DougESPN, Doug Kazarian. Watch all his stuff, especially when they get here. The Daily Wager is going to be that main show shown as the Caesars relationship comes through at the link. And, yeah, it's going to be cool. Hopefully he'll do some remotes out here and come out and do some live shows. I didn't know. I for all I knew, they were going to move the whole show out. You never know what they're going to do in terms of the platform of like where guys move and where they have their shows.
Just wait. Maybe they give it a little test run during baseball season, and then by football, you're like, let's do something a little larger. And then, in the same regard, there's other entities like Fox and CBS that are looking at this, and they're wondering how do they get back into the market, too. So this is just the dawn of a new beginning in the sports media, and it's awesome to watch, and I'm happy to have Doug on and to explain how the revolution is happening before our eyes.
Out at the PGA, Brooks Koepka has yet to tee off. He's the leader at 7-under. Here come some of your American stars, Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson, tied for second with a bunch of people at 3-under. They're both four back of Koepka. Like I said, Koepka has not teed off. Neither has Tiger Woods, 9 strokes back at +2.
All right, let's take a look at traffic here. It is currently 8:52 on your Friday morning.
Start your engines!
Crash 15 southbound at Washington has the right shoulder blocked. You can expect some delays there, as well as 95 southbound after Valley View, right shoulder blocked there. And, of course, in the clearing stages, that earlier accident on 95 southbound at I-15, the right shoulder is blocked there on the on-ramp. Flamingo West to Jimmy Durante Boulevard, crews are on the scene there, as well as accidents on Fort Apache at Alexander. And by UNLV on University at McLeod and on Polaris at Tropicana, we have a hit and run